started, of course, first with the natural. As soon as this, I found myself penetrating the New Jerusalem. I mean, it was like I thought we were going to crash land into this immensely large sphere, moon. It was huge, much larger than I had imagined, because, you know, the largest thing I ever imagined or the largest thing I ever experienced was just a construct architecturally. A ship was an aircraft carrier which you cruised by in Pearl Harbor as a child, and I looked up at its grandness and size. And when we penetrated into the New Jerusalem through the light field, I thought we were going to crash, but it took up the entire peripheral vision from left to right. It was just like a horizon, as we perceive a horizon right now. That's how huge this craft, this idea of not craft, but the architectural sphere of the New Jerusalem was. And then when we penetrated the field of light, we moved into the domains in which there were actual bays in which we ended in. And then when we ended into the bay, it was somewhat dark. It wasn't like extremely brightly lit. It was illuminated like a twilight, and which I believe is more comfortable for some of these big eye guys, they who are piloting the craft, and of course those who actually got me on top of their ship and gave me the invitation. And I was not, again, taken against my will. I was taken on the ride to the New Jerusalem on invite. And it was a very simple invite, which was, would you like to come and see how things work with us? And my response was, wow, this requires a lot of mathematics. I'm not very good at it. He says, oh, you don't need any of that. Well, maybe a little bit. But you can come and see. Basically, that's what it was, come and see and learn. And I was thinking about, I was going to learn about all this technology of how to make a UFO fly around and all that, look for engines and all kinds of stuff, you know, whatever it was. But it ended up being the first excursion out of the bay. We ended up in the garden. Now, Riley talks about that garden too. It's quite a nice thing, because I said, well, my first impression was, this is a nice garden place, you know. And then we went on from the natural, moving up into different orders and finding very similar levels in the ascent, until finally becoming and discovering or talking with the Zerondatek Most Highs, who basically said the purpose of human life and all life on Irancha has to do with becoming like us and beings of light and eternal light in life. And this is the ultimate knowledge and education. The ascent to the discovery of this knowledge was only directed by my questioning and my ability to overcome fear and doubt. Until I came to a point which was just before the veranda decks were exposed to me, where I experienced them and was able to question them, where I was commanded by the Dano to walk before him, walk in front of me. He said, walk before me, walk in front of me, and be perfect. And I said, okay, I don't know what it is, but I'll do it. Whatever you say goes. So basically, he kind of innocent and honest and willing walk before Veranda Deck. And as I did, he simply was able to peer into my heart and my mind. And then he declared, you're perfect. Come in, be with me. And then the light beam boomed. And I mean, it was like, wow, it turned into light. And then I was invited into this realm. And that was a type of transport or a way of And I didn't have to lose my physicality. I still remained physical. I still remained in a state of physical or natural man, essentially, but was able to at least perceive through their willingness and to descend to become associable to me. In other words, they descend to become, so they can understand. You know, it's like you condescend, like how we would condescend to a child and say, oh, and you just got to squat down and talk to a child. Oh, you look nice, Joe, you know. Things like that. Anyway, basically the same idea. And that's pretty much the associations and the similarities, much of it having to do with the ascending process being a readiness to learn. So it's a shortcut. That's one of the interesting things when Jesus Christ says, my Father's house is many mansions. I go and I prepare a place for you of Urantia. This is classified as the place prepared for Urantia citizens. Doesn't negate people who will ascend to the mansion world. But it is also a place where physical individuals of mortal, present mortal life can be taken for furtherance in their ascent and for gaining essentially a shortcut to the spiritual levels. And of course the life generation chambers, the life chambers are there, at least those that which I was able to see. I can verify that for a fact, and I know that that is found in the Urantia book. So anyway, Jay, that's a little bit of, yes, it has many similarities.
You said something that really opened up my mind a little bit more, in the sense that with the sphere, and how it has a unique purpose, and how you mentioned Jesus talking about going to prepare a place. So this sphere is when Christ spoke of mansions in the universe and how he was going to go prepare a place for for Urantia. So we can say that this particular sphere is very unique. It's probably one of a kind, or how would I look at that?
Well, just again, it's classified as our Creator Son sphere, architectural sphere. It follows in the alignment. One of the things that I did in observing that domain, place I was in, squared off corners, sharp corners, absolutely perfect sharp corners were not there. Everything was rounded off. And I noticed, and I began to ask about the structure and how it was made, and I was told and explained, and it showed it was essentially a type of nanotechnology, crystalline type structures, much of our nanotechnology will become, and associated with organizing it from an external. But the purpose of it being for habitation, because apparently I was shown the habitation rooms, essentially just condominiums, you might say. Just going on, when I was given the view of the interior, one of the things I did notice very close up, essentially only a few hundred yards away, and on into the distance were these windowed areas where I could see different beings, people. Some of them up at the windows and others not at them. Some have actually closed their windows on me. It was kind of like staring at them. And they were, that looks out into the center cavity, this great domain that looked like an open space to me. And even had like wispy clouds inside. So it's a habitable area, and I was told I shouldn't go beyond a certain point, because it would go on and on. didn't necessarily speak English anyway, so I could get lost. So it would take them a while to find me if I got lost inside. So I was told not to go beyond a certain position. But its purpose, I mean, it's the origin or the time of its origin here in our solar system was pointed out with this little hint. He says, you know, you notice how clean it is? And I said, yeah. Notice how new it is? Yeah, everything looks brand new. There's nothing that looks worn out and old. And he says, look at it carefully. And then when you go to Rome, at the time I was a kid, I said, go to Rome. I didn't go to Rome yet. Well, I've seen it in pictures. Well, I've been to Rome. I've walked around in ancient Rome, essentially the ruins of all the different places, the Colosseum, things like that, and seen the ruins of Rome and the marble structures being eroded, and essentially some of them being in pretty good shape, others being like terribly old looking. And he said, just remember that how new this place looks in comparison to something of its same age, which is Rome. And I began to associate this concept of Rome and the time of Christ, which is Rome. Rome at the time of Christ. Rome was pretty close to its, peak. And then I realized that they were also giving, he was also giving me a hint into the age within the solar system of the New Jerusalem. So you might say a couple thousand years at least, being parked here, around here. And essentially those were where these so many legion of angels that Christ could have called were domiciled, were actually encamped outside of planet Earth. So this was probably one of... the actual spheres of under the command of Christ Michael, but mm-hmm. they were here in terms of that time. So I would say age-wise, at least not necessarily age, but how long they've been here is at least a couple thousand years time of Christ.
Mm-hmm. When Christ's time, when he was born, would that be the time that they started constructing this, or?
I believe it wasn't. I believe mm-hmm. it was already pre-constructed, and it was part of his entourage. So this is what I was able to get out of mm-hmm. many of the different ways in which the origin of the craft or the architectural sphere was hinted at.
Mm-hmm.
So its time domain here in our planetary system, our solar system, is probably a couple thousand years to the point in which Christ Michael became a human being through in the time that time, at least before he was born, but probably a while longer before that, because it still operates as a transition point, spaceport,
mm-hmm.
because there's definite evidence of it in more than one way, just knowing the size of the hangar area, because the hangar area, it's like the ceiling is like way up there, a mile up in there. I could see, but these V-wing crafts, and they were huge, essentially could actually be a mile long from wingtip to wingtip. The smaller craft were just dotted all over the place, so they're all over the place. And then Cassini also, as I pointed out once before, when you go to Hello Earth, Michael Connection, you go to scan down, you can see that the New Jerusalem points out a cylindrical ship that is very, very large. Essentially darted out to a point in, when it disappeared, there was only a donut of light that was caught by Cassini's camera. And I believe the Celestials did that on purpose to give record to what they're doing, and that is essentially huge lifts are being made for sentient beings from various parts of the universe. Now, this is also part of what is actually happening right now, and the accumulation of those from all parts of the universe of Lebanon coming over to see the actual second coming of Christ, you might say. And of course, mean the escorts too. They're not going to land, but they will make a huge flyby, essentially a beautiful array of ships that will be making a circle around the major cities of the planet, declaring the fact that we are being adopted into the back into the system of the universe of Nevada, which we're held out in quarantine for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I that was part of my response, because my thinking is this: if our world is being so monitored, and if everything in the Urantia book is pointing to all these activities going on, then it wouldn't make logical sense to have a sphere within our solar system. I mean, they're not going to have a sphere in another solar system so they can monitor what's going on Urantia from there. They would have to have one here. And so that's my argument in reverse. It does make logical sense. And now, these architectural spheres aren't in fixed places. They can move, can they not, Michael? I mean, the makers can move them.
Not necessarily. Some of them are centered and will not move, especially the capital spheres. But there are others, of course, that are parked. Essentially, they don't move around that much. Central spheres having a type of radii out, expanding outward. So, upon this idea of moving spheres, perhaps maybe only the classified luminescent spheres, those of the creator sun, perhaps have. I believe a lot of the dark spheres are so gigantic that they actually hold in place a lot of the. Because they have got force organizers and stuff like that on there that hold the section of their universe in alignment, you might say. Force organizers.
When you were looking out into the sphere, this view that you had, were you looking at a city? Were you looking at hills, grass? What type of a view did you actually see in the center of the sphere?
It was an immense view. Actually, the view that I had was able to see the inner wall of the sphere as a continually expanding outward experience. I was near the very top of the egg, you might say, being able to look down and under where I was. And off to the side, I remember distinctly looking to the right and also to the left, but the right was more interesting. At that point on which I was given the observation, was essentially on an observation deck. And I was able to see the interior walls, which is the primary habitated area, the internal segments on the lower level. Have decks, the gardens, and above that, Riley Martin gives a better description of them because he spent more time in the natural area, and even the procreative area, having sex with different types of alien women. And that was offered to me, but I passed. I wanted to know more about what was going on. I didn't engage them.
Mm-hmm.
But having moved past those base areas of natural creature type organizations that move essentially higher and higher and higher away from the base. But the base areas, when I say base, that would be like if you were to give the architectural sphere a top and a bottom, the base, there would be a bottom, essentially the bottom of an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, an ellipsoid, the longer, if you're looking at ellipsoid, having a narrower width than, you know, the longer top to bottom ratio. So it is an ellipsoid. And it sort of makes sense that it would have a type of gravity that was manufactured through perhaps its rotation, its gigantic rotation,
mm-hmm.
and would create a type of imagined gravity that Arthur C. Clarke had in creating the idea of, you know, or actually, it wasn't Arthur C. Clarke, it was von Braun who thought of these rotating space stations.
It, mm-hmm.
it would be like this, it was a gigantic egg, 100 miles in diameter or something like that, this rotating ever so slowly, and you're living on the walls of it, interior walls, they would create a type of centrifugal type of gravity. As well, they also had some other things that were really neat, levitators, and you could ride. You could ride into open space, and I believe if you would, once you're disassociated with the actual outward movement of the type of centrifugal force, you would be able to float around, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I couldn't fall down when I ended up riding the levitator that took me out to the Hall of the Elders, which was really looked like a gigantic, huge nautilus shell, and inside was very much an iridescent, pearlescent-looking interior, and that also gave me understanding that a lot of their materials that were being used were something as base as stone, essentially something as long-lived as stone, but one that healed, which would be a type of calcium base, and that's why he came up with that pearly look, the pearly gates concept. Well, anyway, I didn't really spend a lot of time in the flat domains. I went to the lower area. I just kind of cruised through those.
Michael, it's almost an hour now. Do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to bring up or anything?
Well, yeah, one of the parting mm-hmm. thoughts I would say is that we as citizens of our planet, born into the reality in which we live, I am an example of someone given a great amount of enlightenment. But it comes right down to living right and living with that cosmic consciousness and let it grow ever so brightly. And in that brightness of that consciousness, you could actually bear in your countenance a type of glow which will attract people to the understanding of your knowledge of truth, and then it shares itself and goes far beyond that. Essentially, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, essentially the work within yourselves, and say, I want to be happy too. Well, I want to have that knowledge, and this is something that comes from living with that cosmic consciousness, that divine nature.
Well, Michael, I really enjoy these conversations with you, and I hope we continue to do them. And I want to thank you once again for spending time with us here. Thank you again.
You're certainly welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a fine day.
You too. Bye.